Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. Okay, so welcome back to Everyday Truth, and today we are going to talk about another holiday. We did spend some time talking about Halloween, which took place a couple months ago. So today we're going to talk about that time of year when we've kind of given away our pumpkins, our pumpkin spice lattes. We're now diving into the peppermint mocha, and we are focused on men dressed like Santa Claus. I've already seen tons and tons and tons of decorations everywhere. Actually, it started back at the Halloween time. And so
try July the 4th.
I know, it's crazy. And so that just kind of brings a commercialization around about the holiday we are going to talk about today, and that is Christmas. And so Christmas, for some reason, this season really does, it brings back memories from my childhood. It's a very nostalgic time of year. I love the fall. I love the fall leading into the Christmas season, and all the traditions and the things that we do as we celebrate, you know, the birth of Christ, which is truly the reason for the season. And so what we want to talk about today as we look back are the true roots of this holiday. And so the question that we're going to be answering today, and I don't know if I like to use the word should, you know, should Christians celebrate Christmas, because shoulda, woulda, coulda are judgment words, and I don't like those words, but I think it's something for us to ponder as we focus on everyday truth. What is the truth behind Christmas? What are the roots? And does the modern celebration align with our biblical beliefs? So Christmas is a global holiday. It's filled with lots of tradition for many families. There's, you know, there's the lights, there's the decorations, there's the cooking, the baking, and of course there is Santa Claus. And then there's also a lot of tradition that's really wrapped in and tied into paganism, pagan traditions, and that's a lot where Christmas comes from. And so I want to explore today the history, the theology behind it, and the controversy around Christians and Christmas and how we celebrate that. And then also kind of wrap this up today, Judge, with a conversation on what we can do with our listening audience around how do we promote this as a Christian experience. So that's what I'd like to do as we move into this question.
Well, you know, Sarah,
celebration.
Even well-meaning, even sometimes biblical concepts can be usurped by culture. Mm-hmm. And certainly that some of that has occurred with Christianity. I mean, if you look at rainbows now, the gay community seemingly has captured the rainbow of Noah, which is bothersome to me. But I think it probably would be helpful for us and our audience to really look at some to begin our conversation with some historical context into the origins of Christmas. So I know you've done some research into that. So why don't you share some of those points with us?
Well, I do have a little bit of history here, and it's not a super deep dive because this podcast is not hours long. But when you take a look at December 25th, that's been chosen as the day that we celebrate Christmas. But that the Christmas really is highlighting the overlap with a Roman festival, and I believe it's called Saturnalia, and it's basically other pagan solstice celebration. So it's around the pagan solstice celebration. So the Bible itself does not specifically refer to the exact date of Jesus' birth. There's time frames around that, but it's give or take a few years. But there's no exact date on when Jesus was born. And early Christians did not celebrate his birth as Christmas until centuries later. So there are some theological implications around this. So, you know, is it right to celebrate the birth of Christ on a date that's rooted in paganism? I mean, is that intentional? What's around that? And then can we redeem that holiday by focusing it on Jesus? And so if we look at key scripture, Colossians 2:8, it says that see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. And that seems like a really great baseline for us, Phil, as we go into the thoughts around Christmas. So share with us, Judge, What are your thoughts on, you know, for instance, Santa Claus? What does that mean for our traditions and our culture today? And is this a harmful icon for the celebration of Christmas?
Well, first of all, just a general thought in all of this is that there's certainly very good reasons for us to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know that the time of year is so important as to that celebration that we ought to have in the birth of Jesus. Christmas in many ways has been usurped by culture to mean so many different things to so many different people. It's one of the reasons it's global. Everybody can celebrate Christmas because to some folks, it's not about the birth of Jesus. It's about all the other falderall that goes with it. That is what brings the stress to Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And if you look at different aspects of stress levels, Christmas is one of the biggest stressors that we have as families. I know it is in my household sometimes. Just, you know, my immediate family's got 14 people in it. So, you know, just getting everybody together and maintaining some stability in all the chaos is just a work in and of itself. But that's part of family celebrations. The reality is that the celebration of Santa Claus does have some root in Christianity. There was obviously an original Saint Nicholas many, many years ago, about 4th century. That was just a few years before I was born. He was a Christian bishop who was known for his generosity and care for all the poor, but particularly children. And over time, that story has merged with various folklore traditions, and we now have Santa Claus as part of that tradition. And he's evolved into this jolly figure that really, in a lot of ways, symbolizes Christmas more than the baby Jesus does.
Well, we've also turned, I think, to, you mentioned the stress around the holidays, even with the families coming together, but the stress of the financial component. And what, to me, the paganism is not necessarily the traditions or the rituals, but the paganism, to me, comes through the commercialization, through Santa Claus, through all of the shopping and the gift giving, when really the greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ being born into this world. And we lose sight of that. Like, we don't even, you drive by some churches now, will not even put the baby Jesus in the manger because, you know, Jesus is such a point of contention for so many people, but he is the reason for the season. So I think we can't let that go when we take a look at the point of St. Nicholas and we look at the point of what St. Nicholas has turned into with gift giving through Santa Claus, which has been captivated and capitalized through our culture.
If you go back, Sarah, just and I know I'm kind of on tender ground here, but to move from the birth of Jesus to celebrating St. Nicholas, which, you know, maybe St. Nicholas does need to be celebrated, but even that in and of itself is a situation where you are honoring somebody other than Jesus. You're honoring the results of Jesus rather than Jesus himself. And I'm not complaining about that, but necessarily, but I think that's very, very essential for us to note the main thing, first of all. But then if you look at it, you've got St. Nicholas, who originally was this fine saint who has cared for the poor, particularly children, and all of a sudden he's transformed into this jolly old fella that brings on materialism as the God of Christmas, more so than Jesus, the baby Jesus. And I think that's what this whole concept of allowing Santa Claus to take the focus away from Jesus as the true meaning of Christmas, and it fosters this culture of consumerism that's really antithetical to biblical truth
100%.
Of Christ's birth.
That's right. And so I do think that there's some danger in that as families. So we love to come together as families. We love the tradition of Christmas and celebrating together as a family, bringing, you know, I'll be home for Christmas, the song, bringing families together, you know, when families come together to celebrate the gift of life, the gift of each other, the gift of family, as we honor and celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift to mankind, to the world. So as families, as Christian families, I mean, there is a thin line to cross here, because we do commercialize this, we do consumerize this, even as Christian families. So what are some of the things that we should be thinking about, and how do we respond to the question that, you know, We're putting ourselves in stress as some people go into debt to purchase gifts for their family. And so, you know, what are some of the ramifications around that? What are some of the things that we can share with our listening audience around ways to celebrate Christmas, thoughts around celebrating Christmas, thoughts around how to keep this as a Christian focus, and to really ease some of the burdens that may take place, because this can be a stressful time of year.
Well, you know, Sarah, I think a couple of things. Number one, most Americans, if they really want something, they can go get it for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not a – and I don't mean that in a haughty sense by any means, but it, particularly as it comes to Christmas, we spend so much time buying gifts for people that don't want what we buy for them. And, you know, they spend their time buying gifts for us that we don't want, mm-hmm. and really can't use. Mm-hmm. And we've lost sight of, even if you take St. Nicholas as an example of what we ought to be doing at Christmas, you go back to the baby Jesus, the greatest gift ever given on this earth was the Christ child to us.
Amen.
For unto us a Savior is born. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing at in our family, and it's causing a little bit of guilt, I think, for us, because in one sense, because of what culture has done, but certainly back home where we are, there's a lot of people who are in desperate need in the mountains of Western Amen. North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is I'm going to write a little note, and we're going to give people advance notice. We're not just going to wait until they give us something and do this. We're going to give an advance notice that says, hey, we love you. And because we love you, we're going to be giving gifts to those people who need it.
Amen.
And our designated charity, if you want to look at that this year, we're going to be giving through Christian organizations, which are meeting the needs of folks in and around East Tennessee, Western North Carolina, upstate South Carolina, parts of Virginia, potentially. Groups like Samaritan's Purse and others who go in the name of Jesus. And I think that's really what we need to be focusing on as families. I'm not trying to prevent kids from getting things under the Christmas tree. That's all well and good. But at some point in time, maturity comes in and says, hey, there are other people that need things a whole lot more than I need things. And maybe this is the time of the year for us to focus on that. Not that we shouldn't focus on it at other times of the year, but to give special emphasis. And I think that's that would be honoring to the Christ child, to give gifts to people in need, material gifts to people in need who are in honor of that Christ child. But we also forget, even as we do that we need to be proclaiming the gospel.
Well, that's the greatest gift we can share with others.
That's the greatest gift.
Proclamation of the gospel. And I also think, to your point, with our families, sharing with our families the true meaning of Christmas is giving. It's not about receiving. It's about giving. You know, and God says he likes a cheerful giver. Don't give unless you're going to be a cheerful giver. And I think training up our children in the way that they should go when it comes to generosity, when it comes to giving, when it comes to, you know, sacrificing, as you say, giving gifts to people who need them, for instance, in Western North Carolina for this year. But there are so many ways that we can use Christmas as a teaching point to actually fight back against the tide of commercialism, to fight back against all of that as a family. you know, there's no need to have 50 million presents under the tree when you don't need those kinds of things. And I think about with my husband, you know, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. As a matter of fact, I just want my family to be together this year. And we're blessed just to be together this year.
And be relatively civil to one another.
Well, my children are adults, and so that makes a difference. So really choosing a different thought process around what does Christmas really mean, this is an opportunity for us to turn the tide, focus on what truly matters. Think about those families who don't even have a home. They're living in tents. Or this is a great way for you to share with your children the true meaning of what it, of gift giving, and what it, and focus it on the greatest gift ever given to us, which is the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the purpose for him coming to this earth.
Well, and I want to urge our listeners and try to remind myself that Christianity is not a religion of do's and don'ts.
No.
And so, you know, this is a lot like, we don't need to be condemning of our children when they make a list out for Santa Claus, for instance. But what if we came along beside them and said, you know, Johnny, Susie, whatever the case may be, you made a list out of things you want for Christmas. How about giving one of these lists of that you've put on here, how about let's make a list for somebody who's not going to get any, some child who's not going to give anything for Christmas, and give one of your wish list to someone else.
You know, I did that with my kids when we were growing up, and I found that to be very, very valuable experience, where, you know, you would go to church, pick an angel tree gift or pick a gift, and have them become part of that experience.
Sure.
Of picking that out, giving that gift, wrapping it, bringing it to the church. I think there's a lot to be said to teach generosity of heart to our children in that manner.
Well, in this way, they give up something. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, most children don't have, although I'm inspired sometimes by the generosity of children giving to Christmas funds. They'll break their piggy banks and, you know, and it just warms your heart to see that. But, you know, children just need gentle reminders. They're basically, you know, if you raise them the right way, they're gonna have a sensitive heart to this kind of thing. And so let's just, you know, use this as a reminder to them of what God has done for us through the birth of His Son Jesus. And certainly, you know, I think it's a good time to remind people that the manger, if it's not seen in the shadow of the cross, is not clearly seen, regardless of how you celebrate Christmas in terms of just St. Nicholas or whatever. You got to see the cross. That's part of the message of Christmas. That's part of that gift that we received at Christmas.
So as we wrap up on that note, I think it's important that we take a moment to remind everyone of that greatest gift, which we've mentioned. It's not by Santa Claus, but it is by God Himself. And that's the true reason for this season. Regardless of whether you celebrate Christmas or not, the gift is Jesus Christ. And so God did send His Son into the world, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life and to die on a cross for our sins. And it's through His death and His resurrection that we have eternal life, and we can repent and put our faith in Him. And so as we discuss the importance of truth today, I think we need to remember the ultimate truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, and that is John 14:6. So if you haven't accepted this gift, there is no better time than now in the season of celebrating Christmas, the gift of Christ, the birth of Christ, and we're asking people that don't know Him to take that step to believe in Jesus today.
Well, that's the greatest gift you could give to me. Mm-hmm. Is to know that someone came to know Jesus because of what we do here and because of the recognition of the great gift that He was to us long ago.
Well, as we end this podcast, we do want people to remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that we do is wrapped up in our love and our obedience and our faithfulness to Him. And the greatest gift He gave us, which is eternal life. So as we end this podcast and we celebrate Christmas, we do that in the spirit that Jesus Christ is our gift, and we celebrate that with our families and at Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.